Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Jalles conference call to discuss the results of the first quarter of crop year 2025-2026. This conference is being recorded and has simultaneous translation into English. The replay will be available in both languages at the company's website at ri.jalles.com. All participants are in a listen-only mode during the presentation. After the presentation, we will hold a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. As we have limited time in this conference, any questions that are not answered during the call will be answered later by the company's IR team. This is the first crop year 2025 and 2026, and the earnings release can be found on the company website. Before proceeding, I'd like to mention that any statements that are made during the conference related to the company's business projects or forecasts, operating and financial targets relate to the company's beliefs at this time, and they are subject to changes due to macroeconomic conditions, market risks, and other factors. With us today, Rodrigo Penna Sejira, our CFO and IRO. Mr. Penna, please. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm very happy to be here on another conference call with our investors and analysts. Thank you all for joining. This first quarter and the crop year 2025-2026 started with less yield. We will talk a little about that. We had given guidance about that already. There was a 4% failure in comparison to what we had expected at the beginning of the crop year. The guidance was published in June, at the start of June. And we expected some improvement after the third part of the crop had been covered. We published a material fact last night. So we have 5.4% lower than the guidance in June and 10% lower than the average crop yield we would expect. We will go into more details. There was an impact from organics. We'll also talk about the tariffs and how we're mitigating this in Jalles. So we'll look at the market perspectives, then we'll talk about the operating highlights, and we'll talk about the guidance and the Trump tariffs from the United States. When we look at the world sugar balance, we have the latest figures from Data Agro on the screen. One of our board members is part of the, or is the president of Data Agro, and we always take his opinion and high in consideration. So there is a drop now, but we expect an increase for the coming crop. That's why we've seen a bit more pressure in prices this year. So why are we going from 5.5 deficit to 0.8 surplus in 25-26? Well, that is the increase in yield. In India, they had a crop failure last year. So it's a 21% increase. Thailand is also increasing their yield. European Union decreased it. and Brazil expects to increase it in 1.1 million. We continue to see 6.6 million tons in crushing. TRS has reduced in the center-south. And if yield doesn't go back up, the center-south crushing figures should also go down. It's likely that that will happen. When we speak to our peers and consultants in the segment, we see that this is constant, that yields are lower. We have 55% of the crop already. We reviewed it at the end of last week, and that's what we published in the Material Fact. So in Brazil, center south, we understand that this sugar production of 41.3 million could, or million tons could reduce. It could go down. If we look at the historical figures from 2013 to 2014, we are at one of the lowest points. So we believe it's likely that prices will increase from here. When we look at the ethanol supply balance sheet in Center-South region, we had 34.9 billion liters produced in the previous crop year. Sugarcane ethanol is expected to have a 3.2 million billion in reduction. Some of this ethanol is being used to produce sugar. We have more sugar in our mix. Corn ethanol should add another 2 billion liters in the market. The auto cycle is very similar to the GDP, 700 million liters. And the mix with E30 started in August, and it goes from August to March. So we expect this impact of 746 million. So when you adjust it as per the auto cycle, we see a 2.6 million liters reduction. So it's the same scenario as we had in the last call. Supply is tight. And we expect better parity in the course of the crop year. We always look at the São Paulo market. It's the main price setter. And we expect this parity to get to 71%. This is the curve published by SCA. This is a society that markets ethanol from many plants in the center south. It's not our own forecast. So the price is currently at about 320. It should go above or close to 350. And there should be no increase or decrease from Petrobras. So it's a positive scenario for ethanol in the course of this year. And to conclude the market perspective section, we wanted to produce a benchmark produced by CDC. 175 plants in Center-South, 19 in Goiás, and 22 in Minas Gerais. So this really shows what's going on when it comes to productivity in the Center-South. When we look at Goiás, we see that the CTC and a CTC sample is from April to June. So the sample from CTC is April to June, which is the same as A number. So we see 3.9% in TRS. The drop in Minas is smaller than in Goiás. Jalles and Wol, UOL are dropping 14%. One of the advantages that we have at Jalles is irrigation. Irrigation can always mitigate the impact of weather events. And at Jalles, we see a bigger impact on yield because half of the sugarcane crop is organic. And it was the perfect storm for organic last year. We can't use anything chemical to fight any weeds. And last year, there was a drought and then a lot of rainfall in September and October. And we didn't have the chance to weed the field. So there was a lot of weed competition, and that impacted the development of the organic sugarcane crop. When we look at Minas Gerais, we see that the TRS has gone down. And the TRS product when you produce ethanol, it's normally privileged. It's the conversion of the ethanol product into TRS. It gets better when you produce TRS. So the TRS field only went down a little bit here. We have the effect of the mix. And the TCH has an impact here in this first quarter. And we had 0.9% better than last year. So when we look at our highlights in operations, harvested area is very close, only 2% down, but grinding or crushing is 10% down. That is due to the yield impact. We had to reduce our crushing speed. And this also impacts the cost of sugarcane. Sorry, not the cost of the sugarcane, but the cost of the product because you're diluting, you're watering down the fixed costs. TCH dropped by 8.4% year on year. And that's also an impact that we have in on cost. If the TRS is lower, you produce less sugar and ethanol from the same sugarcane. So the speed of crushing with lower TCH and lower TRS all lead to a higher cost in the first quarter. Then we have TCH per plant. I'm not going to go into the details. And when we look at the TRS per hectare, it dropped by almost 12%. The average TRS is almost 3% down. And when we look at the data from CTC for the Center South, from April to June, there was a TCH decrease of 11% and a 4% decrease in TRS. When we look at the production mix, we had an improvement here. Santa Vitória has had a sugar factory from the start of this crop year, so it is producing as expected. It's running really well. And there's a mix that is going to be smaller now because at Jalis, when we're producing conventional sugar, anhydrous ethanol is paying better than sugar. So it pays off not to produce sugar, but to produce anhydrous ethanol. So at Jalis, we're not going to have that mix of 60 that we had thought of originally because we are favoring anhydrous ethanol and the conventional sugarcane crushing. The average year, or the average age rather, is 2.6 years. I'll talk a little bit about the ethanol prices and sugar prices. Sugar price was slightly higher than last year. Conventional sugar has gone down, but we had more organic sugar in this quarter. So the average price was better than what we had last year. When we look at ethanol, there's a rise of 15.9% in price. The volumes also climbed up. We have sold 67% of the TRS produced in the quarter, combining sugar and ethanol, and 40.4% of the mix was sugar. The ethanol stock is low, and the sugar stock is higher, also due to the fact that Santa Vitória now produces sugar and it didn't in the past. Adjusted EBIT was 3.8% in comparison to 16.8%. And we have a hedge liquidated. So this would be a bit higher if we adjusted that as per this factor, considering the liquidated commodity hedge. Adjusted EBITDA was 53.4, and we had a loss of 14 million this quarter. As for the financial highlights, when we look at hedge and derivatives to the right, we can see that sugar had a substantial impact. The market prices have gone down and our prices set up here. And when we look at the curves in June, we have IPCA or the CPI, the Consumer Price Index. And in the 10-year rate, it climbed down from 7.6 to 7.2. In spite of this positive impact on the financial side, we normally have a point that offsets it. Commodity derivatives may be negative in the market, but the biological is positive. So when one is positive, the other is negative. Our biological product was 170.70 negative in the quarter because of the sugar and ethanol prices that have this impact. Indebtedness was 1,850, 6% higher than the previous year. We have 1.5 in cash, so it's a comfortable position. The average debt term is 4.7. And this will cover amortization up to 2930, crop year 2930. So the debt is well covered. As for hedging, 90% of the crop is sold forward. The next one is 74% sold. And the next one is 22%. And we can see the prices here are 2431, 2475, and 2533. All of them are above the historical average. So, from a sugar production capacity, conventional sugar, we have 1.32 crops sold forward. I mentioned production costs when we talked about TCH and TRS, sugarcane production per hectare, TRS, and lower crushing levels. That had a direct impact on the accounting costs. So we see a rise here of 18.4%. When we look at the cash perspective, where you remove any depreciation and you add what you've invested in crop management and crop maintenance and planting, then we had a 1% decrease. And because of the increase of the dollar against the real, then we have a 9% change here and the exchange rate. We don't expect to have the rainfall now, and we see the increase that we had and the plants that impacted the shorter off season. So this is a trend to go down. Now, speaking about the tariffs, this is bad news for Jalles. The organic market is important to us. The United States accounted for 6% of our total sales last year, and that makes Brazilian sugar less competitive in comparison to the main global players. Brazil is the largest global player in organic sugar. So that has an impact on investments in long-term growth when it comes to this product where we are leaders. I hope that this changes, if not this year, next year. You can see this chart at the bottom, and Brazil accounts for 46% of the sugar imported from the United States. And they can't find it anywhere else. And they would only not have a problem if soda, pop, and sweets stopped buying the sugar. And organic market has a trend to go up in pricing, different to conventional sugar. The pricing of organic sugar and conventional sugar, they're completely independent from one another. And we've seen so far that customers continue to buy it, even though they have to pay these tariffs. Of course, in the long run, this is negative because the other players will have the incentive to produce more. And this may may change in the future, right? The impact we expect this year is a drop from 15 to 20,000 tons. The United States is 6% of organic sugar. And that has an impact of 20 to 25 million reals on our cash. I'm talking about the guidance now. I already mentioned earlier. So we reduced by 5.4 our expectation in yield this year in comparison to the previous guidance. This is 10% lower than what we had expected for the original forecast. That was almost 8,207, if 870, if I'm not mistaken. From the installed capacity, we'll only be using 83.5% with a productivity of 80 per plant, and our TRS would drop 1.6%. Following the center-south trend, but not so intensely. And the production mix, we have 54% for sugar because the anhydrous ethanol is more advantageous than conventional sugar. So when we're not producing organic sugarcane, then we're focusing on anhydrous ethanol that has been yielding better results than sugar. Considering the challenging scenario, what are we doing with the impacts on free cash flow and whatnot? The guidance that we had published originally already showed a 40 million real drop in CapEx. This would lead to no problem if we leave it for later. And we have some improvements in CTT, right? Harvest, transshipment, and transport. We have made changes in concept and other changes. So this would lead to replacing harvesters less often. And we have reduced another 51 million here in crop management and CapEx. So from the guidance that we give, we have calculated some reductions that are not going to be enough to offset the whole loss, but that can mitigate it partially. The company has been having a number of meetings in all departments, agricultural, financial, all of them, to try and find more efficiency in every possibility. That was what we had for you. We have 30 minutes for the questions now. Our COO, Joel Soares, is also next to me and available to answer your questions. All right. Thank you very much, everyone. And let's start the Q&A. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the question and answer session. To ask a question, please click the Q&A icon at the bottom of the screen. You may send your question in writing, or you may send a message saying that you'd like to ask a question using your microphone, and then you'll have the chance to unmute your mic when your name is called out. It's also possible to ask questions if you've connected using your phone. Just press star 9 if that is the case. When your name is called out, you'll press star 6 and you'll be able to unmute. This command needs to be carried out only once. Gabriel Barra from Citi would like to ask a question. Gabriel Barra, please. Hello, Rodrigo. Thank you for taking my question. I've got a couple of questions, actually. You started talking about the macroeconomic scenario, and one of the points we've been discussing with investors is this sort of dual scenario, right? Some consultants speak about a stronger yield or production, and we see the companies at the same time struggling to even keep to the guidance levels, as you have just shown us. So you're below the guidance levels. And this also applies to other companies, with the sugarcane also being harmed by the fires from last year. And this focus on ethanol in the mix, right? We didn't quite expect that to happen so early. And that also puts more, has more pressure regarding the oil prices. How can we reconcile these aspects? We see that companies are struggling with a more ethanol-based mix, and the market wants sugar as well. And a second question has to do with strategy. You mentioned that a scenario may be better for ethanol, and not only you, but other companies are focusing more on ethanol. But when you look at these the stock levels, it's a bit tighter. It's not a there's much of a buffer. Also, the interest rates are higher, and there's a bit more uncertainty. These are my questions. Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel. Thank you for joining our call. Let's start with the mix. Is my connection breaking up? I can hear you well, Rodrigo. Yes, I can hear you well. Just a moment, please. Can you hear me, Gabriel? Yes, I can hear you. Okay. All right. So, starting with the question about mix. In Goiás, we have an advantage with anhydrous ethanol. And we do financial hedging. So, you can revert the hedge. If ethanol is doing better than sugar, you can just revert it without any extra costs. And you can use the strategy better of shifting towards ethanol. We win, right, with the sugar going down and with the premium with the spot sugar. So this is not general. I am saying this because this is not something that every plant can do. São Paulo, again, is a price setter. And it's better to do sugar than ethanol. In Mato Grosso do Sul, you may have an advantage there with ethanol for some plants, but it's not quite general. Santa Vitória continues to produce as much sugar as possible, and Olavo Lage also only does hydrous ethanol, so it's better to make sugar. So it's just a disclaimer that this applies specifically to anhydrous ethanol. And we can maneuver our hedge if the situation favors us. And we're looking at market prices constantly, comparing to carryover sugar and ethanol in the future. With the increase there was recently, we sold some. We had stopped selling ethanol for a while to leave about 50% of the ethanol produced to be sold in the off season. But this is very dynamic and it changes all the time. And we need to analyze it all the time. Now, an important point is that with this expectation of a lower crushing level in Brazil and lower ATR, pardon me, TRS, with the exception of Mato Grosso and Mato Grosso do Sul and Paraná, where you have less impact, and they're not the largest producers, right? The largest is São Paulo, and then Minas and Goiás rank second and third, sort of vying for the second or third position. So we see an impact here, TCH and ATR, or TRS, pardon me. So we believe that sugar is at the lowest price. We don't really expect that it should go down any further, and we expect it should start going up, following this trend here in the Brazilian market in the center south. Did I answer your question satisfactorily? If I didn't, please let me know. You can ask for the questions, of course. It was quite clear, Rodrigo. Thank you. Thank you, Gabriel. Henrique Brutolin from Bradesco BBI will ask the next question. Good afternoon, Rodrigo, Joel. My first question is for you, Joel. The yield being lower is something that Rodrigo already explained to a certain extent. But when you look forward, how comfortable are you regarding your recovery for the coming years? Also, considering that the climate or weather isn't an issue, what would the expected curve be for the 9 million tons expected for the coming year and also for the next crop year? If there's any approach in the, or any situation rather, in any of the plants that would cause the recovery to be harder. If you think of, say, the organic sugarcane field, if it's going to be more impacted than something else, just for an example. And Rodrigo, I wanted to understand the situation with the organic sugar a bit better. You mentioned the 20 to 25 million difference. Does that come from that 15 to 20 thousand tons that are redirected? Or is there anything here related to lower pricing for the rest of the crop year? So, what have you seen when it comes to marketing organic sugar and what is expected in the pricing dynamics? Hello, everyone. Thank you for your question, Brasileiro. The whole sector was surprised by the weather issues. So, excessive rainfall and less sunlight. And then, February and March, there was an intense drought. We like to say that the distribution of rainfall and balanced weather when it comes to humidity and temperature, etc., this is what matters. But we were all in a similar situation here. For the next crop year, we, of course, have been investing more and more in varied technologies. And this applies to the medium to long term. We've also invested in irrigation to mitigate the climate issues. Also, when it comes to rainfall related destruction. And on our premises, wherever we have irrigation, we see a more balanced Yield. So with all of the measures we have taken, with all of the approaches, be it pivot or be it salvage irrigation, we have another project of 700 hectares that is already planted with different sorts for this management, this irrigation-based management. So we want to, of course, use the sorts that will respond best to water. And crop management is basically mechanical in these areas. And whenever there is rain or intense rain, and often that happens in October, we can't go into these areas. But as soon as we have the chance at the end of the rain period, I mean, when that happens, we have better conditions to work. And we believe for the next crop year, we'll see a substantial recovery in the three plants. Thank you, Joel, for that answer. Brustolin, if something is unclear, just let us know. Now, let's understand the impact on organic sugar. This range from 20 to 25, it's only 25 million tons fewer that are now going to be sold as sugar, and they're going to be redirected to ethanol and anhydrous ethanol, maximizing the level of anhydrous ethanol. But the good news is, and I mean, today we heard that customers are not going to change their contracts. They are not going to have more, but they're not reducing either. And this is such a major change and such a sudden change. So it's still unfolding. So maybe these 50% tariff will change and it will go back. So there's a lot to happen still. But it would have this volume from 15 to 20,000 tons. And the organic sugarcane, we're having the impact with lower yield, and it's a shame that we're transferring it to a lower value added product. So that's why we see this impact. Thank you, Rodrigo. And Joel, if I may ask a follow-up question about the yield. To get to the 9 million, that looks challenging for next year, but so maybe we'll achieve it in 2 years. Will this difference already come next year, and then 27, 28 would have an addition to the nine? Or should we consider something that will rise slowly but surely and get there in 2 years? It's very early to tell. Would depend on the weather. The company is ready for this production of sugarcane. We have well-nurtured sugarcane fields. We have the right planted surface, and we really have everything we need to produce the sugarcane. And now this period that's coming to an end with a month and a half, we're going to add 3,000 hectares in Santa Vittoria and Ottavio Lage. And in the coming years, we can ramp up growth again and have a chance to fill up these plants, right? So this is what we're pursuing. And again, we have everything we need for it. Activities, technology, the work to increase yield and productivity. Well, we're doing it. Generally speaking, of course, we really depend on the weather balance, the whole of agriculture does, so that we can get there faster. But we're considering something around the deadline that you mentioned. Thank you very much. That's clear. Pedro Fonseca from XP has a question. Good afternoon, Rodrigo and Joel. It's a pleasure to talk to you again. There's one slide where you compare the plants to the CTC data. That's a very interesting slide. Just what is the cutover date? What exactly is the period that we're looking at in that snapshot? And just to be sure I understand correctly, when you review the guidance, the decrease in the sugarcane mix is 100% related to the better return on Jalles Machado's anhydrous ethanol, right? That being better than conventional sugar, or is there? Lower levels of crystal sugar production. And my second question around organic sugar, and you mentioned that, Rodrigo. That was a very interesting slide showing how the United States depends on organic sugar from Brazil. So maybe there's a chance for the tariffs to be negotiated. You also mentioned that anhydrous ethanol is doing well. Organic sugar demands more CapEx. So to what extent does it make sense to continue with our investments for organic sugar, or should we start shifting our strategy, reduce our expectations and organic sugar, considering the perennial profile of the culture of the crop? To what extent could we take a step back considering the organic sugar production and that focus? Thank you very much for your question, Bitter. I think I mentioned that during this the presentation, the slide. Everything is April to June. The data in the first quarter from Jalles and from CTC. So this is the like-for-like comparison. As for the sugar mix, no problem with the crystal sugar or granulated sugar. In Santa Vitória, we had the first full crop year from the sugarcane or the sugar plant. 20,200 sacks of sugar produced in a day. That's a record. And this week was 20,400, 20,400. So Santa Vitória has been working hard. The same applies to Otávio Lage. And now, Jalles Machado is also performing well. And when it comes to the United States' dependence on Brazil, if we should shift the production from organic to conventional, right? When we talk about the United States, generally speaking, Jalles has 20% of our market being internal, domestic, and 80% is international. Out of that 80, 70% is the United States. So from our total organic markets, slightly above 50% with the United States. But we don't think this is the time to make any decision yet. If someone is unpredictable, then Trump is that guy. So there's a lot that could happen. We know there's a political issue, different ideologies. There'll be elections next year in Brazil as well. In the short term, they can't get sugar from anywhere else. Almost 50% of organic sugar is produced in Brazil. So the United States, by almost half of what of the sugar they use from Brazil. And another important point, when we look at sugar itself, it will have a direct impact from the tariff. There's logistics cost. So we'll go from 10 to 50. And it will be, I say 30% more expensive for the end customer. But when you look at, say, soda, right, soft drinks or sweets, chocolates, these 30% may account for 10, 15% or less of the cost of the product. So this is going to go up by 5 or 6%. The problem is that we may cease to be competitive in the course of time because the amount of tariff I'm paying, if they buy the product from Colombia, they're going to get these 40% extra in their price. So the rest of the world will really feel like they should increase production levels. When there was 10% for everyone, that applied to everyone, so it doesn't really make a difference. Now the 40% extra is a concern. In short, we're not changing our strategy. If, however, we see there are three organic groups in the third stage, as we get confirmation from the customers, we could possibly produce some of it, organic sugar, and then anhydrous ethanol and conventional sugar. Then the whole of the infrastructure, commercial infrastructure, certifications, everything that we have would have sort of been wasted. But let's hope that reason will come back into this discussion. Thank you, Pedro. That was very clear. Thank you. Question from Matheus Enfeldt from UPS. Matheus Enfeldt, please, you may ask your question. Thank you for your time. I have got two questions. In SG&A, what is your strategy like for the future? And what is the net impact the operations will have, maybe on the EBITDA margin? Is there anything that will be offset in income? When it comes to exports, what can we expect? And your cash position. The cash position has been relatively high. And the leverage has been low. Do you understand that you have a healthy capital structure for the company right now, or should you reduce, say, cash, reduce the debt? What is your understanding for the moment? Thank you, Matheus. As for SG&A, well, we had a decrease in G&A. If you look at it year on year, there was a drop in G&A in spite of inflation and the cost on and personnel. Now the S has gone up, selling. Right, selling expenses have gone up. Why is that? Because we started exporting VHP sugar from Santa Vitória. When we had only ethanol there, we didn't have to pay for shipping and transport because the distributors will come and collect it from the plant. Now, when you do VHP sugar, you have to deliver it at the port. So we deliver it with trucks. We go to Itrama or Uberlândia and then to Santos with the railroad. So this is the route our VHP sugar follows. And I like your question because we send this to the people, we spend it on logistics, and then it's exported. When look at our quarter, we had 12 million reals in logistics and shipping that had been accounted for and paid, and the product hasn't been exported yet. So I've already paid for shipping costs, but haven't got the margin yet. We mentioned that in the release. It was a good question so that we can ask, rather actually make this comment. Why the selling expenses have gone up and why part of the product that had the logistics paid for already is not acknowledged for, is not recorded in revenue because it's at the port still. VHP. And the break book. We do a break book for organic. That is a cost for the customer. We deliver it at the port and then the customer will take care of it. We had 10,000 tons in the first quarter. And it's really efficient in the chain when the containers are at a more expensive price, especially because this also reduces our costs in offloading and loading the sugar. So it increases efficiency. And going back to cash, we're high in cash, that is true. We had invested it into an investment that was CDI base rate plus 03. And we have the reference of CDI plus 07. We even put that in the release. So the profitability has gone down a little. We're paying CDI plus 7. So it's costing me half or 0.5% a year to carry over this cash. Our sector has cycles and there are peaks and troughs. So we need to be robust when it comes to cash. We've always liked to have liquidity in cash so that we can adjust the debt, have a long-term, well-negotiated debt, especially due to our business style, right? And the captation opportunities are very good. If we captured a debt today, we'll be all in with CDI plus 03. So it is cheap to carry over the debt because of the safety the company has from it. As for capital leverage, I mentioned this in the previous call. We like to be on a leverage level that is as is or lower. We would not invest further at this point. really having as much as possible in the plant. So we're in a comfortable level, but we like to be at this level or lower, especially when it comes to a country such as Brazil with so much uncertainty and all of these oscillations, these fluctuations. Two years ago, everyone would expect the base interest rate to be at 8% now, and it's 15 at this point. So we expect it to be at this level or lower, Matos. Thank you. Thank you, Rodrigo. Next question from Guilherme Gutilha from BTG. Hello, Joel. Hello, Rodrigo. Good afternoon. Quick question. How do you expect the cash unit cost to develop? Now you've changed the guidance a bit. There's a bit less crushing. So how do you expect this to perform year on year? Thank you for your question, Gutila. We haven't given any guidance around costs, but let me give you an idea. Without the crop failure, there was some increase, inflation or inflation, and a little bit when it comes to personnel. But in most costs, we were reducing the levels, right? Say in inputs and CP crop protection, right? So we were headed towards stability in the year-on-year costs. But 75% of our cost is sugarcane. And speaking about CPV here, basically, it comes all from the crop management, and what happens before that. Now, when we look at the cash cost, which is what I'm looking at this year, it is lower than it was last year. And again, CPV means COGS. So we expect an increase in cost due to yield. If yield was stable, we would have a stability or maybe a reduction of the cost for the year. I'm not sure I answered the question, but I'm not sure how far I can go. Yeah, that was clear. Thank you. Thank you, Rodrigo. Next question from Gustavo Praiano from Itaú BBA. You may begin, sir. Rodrigo, well, thank you for your question. Just one point I'd like to go back to: organic sugar and the tariffs. At the start of the call, you mentioned that if the situation stretches out, we're likely to see new entries in the market. I know this is very difficult to predict considering the whole unpredictability that we have with the United States. But who would these newcomers be? And how much or how long should the situation last for this to start to happen? So what is the barrier to entrance? That is the question, basically. Because even though you can pass the price or transfer the price down to the United States to the buyers of your products, this should allow for newcomers to join the market. So how do you qualify this risk, and who would these people be? Thank you. Well, the main entrants would be those that already produce sugar. Colombia first, Argentina, and Paraguay. So these three countries, they're major sugarcane growers. Some of them can't even increase their yield. But those who can, well, it takes at least 4 years to convert from conventional to organic, convert a field from conventional to organic. So it can't happen overnight. It would take a few years. But it would be these countries. In the past, I mean, the European market is still important, but it used to be bigger. And they started producing organic sugar beet sugar, right? So this is sugar made from beetroot. We pay 419 euros for 1 ton of sugar going into the European Union. Colombia has an agreement with the European Union where they pay virtually nothing. And they have a bigger share of the market than us in Europe. But United States point, I mean, the change would take a while, but well, a lot can change. We can increase our share in Europe and Asia, and the domestic market we're growing in retail. I don't remember if I mentioned this in the call, but we are the second brand in Brazil, and in the organic market in Brazil, Camil was the second brand in the past. I see Tajin and La Terre. They're behind only Native. So it's a smaller market, but it's growing. For the industry, the organic sugar product has also grown for organic acai, for example. And we believe the situation with the United States is not going to last. Okay, thank you very much. That was very clear. Thank you, Triana, for joining the call. If there are no further questions, I'd like to give the floor to Mr. Pena for his final remarks. You may begin, sir. Well, good afternoon again. Thank you, Amanda, for conducting the call. Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. Thank you to the investors. We wish we were telling you better news, but our business depends a lot on nature, on the climate. And you may have positive surprises when weather lends a hand, or less pleasant surprises when it doesn't. So the whole company is doing our homework so that we can reduce the impact on cash with a reduction in crushing. And I'd like to thank our IR team, Nadal, Jacqueline, who worked tirelessly, as well as the financial team, to produce the quarter release and materials. Thank you, everyone. Have a good afternoon. This is the end of the first. Oh, Joel was going to say something. I just wanted to underline what Rodrigo said. We stand firm, working to improve our processes, be more efficient in OPEX and OPEX and CAPEX without impacting the performance of the company. And thank you all for joining. Should you have any questions, let us know. The first quarter 2025, 2026 is over. Thank you very much for joining. Have a good one.